Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
We have a scripture reading this morning from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Thank you. We're going to continue reading each week where we are in that passage that we started this suit up sermon series with, that Ephesians 6 passage where Paul is telling them, okay, here's what Christ has done for you. That means this is who you are now in Christ. And then towards the latter part of the book, the letter, he starts telling them, this is how you then ought to live. But then he warns them, if you're going to live out your life in Christ, you're going to be prepared for a battle. And too many times we don't want to talk about this subject and we're prepared for battle. Growth happens, adversity comes, churches, Christians respond in one of two ways. They put on the armor of God and they persevere and they get through it. Or they don't have the armor of God on and they slowly drift away from their relationship with Christ. So the first week we looked at the whole passage, we saw that we are in a battle. We do have an enemy, and our enemy is a liar, and he lies to us in two main ways. Temptations. He tempts us to do things that are not of Christ. And then he tells us that it's okay. And accusations. He says false things about us that aren't true, that have no authority over our life of who we are in Christ. Going into this study, I prayed about this for a long time, and I've told most of you, I'm as excited about this as I am the day I became a pastor in June of 2015. Because I think it's something we don't talk about, and I think it's something that's going to prepare Emmanuel United Methodist Church for the next big explosion, boost, firework, growth, I'm trying to think of good words, that's going to happen. But for us to be prepared, we're going to have to suit up. So I knew when we prepared this that that little voice started telling me, don't do it. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to face trials in your life during that sermon series. And it's going to make you not want to do it. Your people are going to go through things in their lives. They're going to start hearing those temptations that they thought they had beaten. They're going to start hearing those lies about themselves again. God, where are you in this situation? Where are you in the struggles that I had this week? And you might see people not wanting to address the topic. But the Holy Spirit always wins the day. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, if we will pour ourselves into this, if we will lift up each other in prayer, we cannot be defeated, because I've told you the wonderful secret to all this is that we've already won. Christ has already defeated hell and death and the enemy, and we stand on his victory. The second week, we looked at the belt of truth, and we said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And then that belt, that is the truth where all our faith begins. It ties everything else together. We have to see Jesus Christ as the one and only Lord of our lives. And just like that belt that a soldier would have wore, the breastplate would have sat right on top of it, kind of almost tucked in. And so it would have held it all together. Because without us acknowledging that truth and our faith and lordship of Jesus, all this other stuff is no good. So today we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. So just real quick, what is the role of the breastplate? It's pretty much common sense, isn't it? I'm trying to protect the things that are most important to me living. That's okay to laugh at that. You know, it looks funny. It's okay to laugh at that. It's what you get when you order a plus size $4.95 plastic. This is not molded this way. This is from where I've been working out. Oh, now y'all want to laugh. But it's here to protect my organs. It's here to protect my heart, because if the enemy was to hit me with an arrow in my heart, especially with the medical science they had back then, you were going to die. There was nobody going to be able to save you. Even some of your vital organs, your lungs, your ability to breathe, for your body to work properly, had to be protected. And a soldier would never go out into battle without putting this on first. And so that brings us to where we are today. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. You can find that on page 954 in your pew Bibles. And I'll give you a second to find that as we prepare for our scripture reading this morning. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is not troublesome to me, and for you it is a safeguard. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, even though I, too, have reason for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained, not that I have already attained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So what is righteousness, church? Righteousness is defined by Merriam-Webster.com as acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. It's probably not a term we use a whole lot, is it? Here's one we use. Self-righteous. Convinced of one's own righteousness, especially in contrast to the behaviors of others. Now, 2 weeks ago when we looked at the belt of truth, we said truth is the hardest thing to come by in our society today, because I can say whatever I want, post it wherever I want, tell whoever I want, and it becomes truth. In my perspective. So being self-righteous is your perspective of how good you think you really are. But Paul separates these two for the church in Philippi and for all of us. Paul says in verses 4 through 6, he basically says, make your list of all the great things you've done. My list is better. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the big two, where the first King Saul came from. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. Now, we give the Pharisees a hard time, but if you were a religious person in that day, you would have wanted to be a Pharisee. We would have all been striving for that. As for zeal, he was a persecutor of the church. Now, we look at that and go, man, Paul was an evil person. But Paul thought that the Christians, those following Jesus, were dishonoring his faith. So he thought he was standing up for his faith by persecuting this new religious sect. And he was blameless in the law. He's got a pretty impressive list, doesn't he? We could probably say this man, he might actually be righteous. You see, we find ourselves still using these self-righteous ways to get through our lives. We may not actually have them on a checklist, but we have them in a mental checklist, don't we? Well, I better get up and go to church today because, well, I need God to help me. So if I go, I'll be good enough for God to help me. Now, I know you've never thought that, but you probably know somebody that has. Okay? I also know you didn't say this one, but you know somebody that has. I did my Bible reading in my quiet time this week. I'm pretty good. Matter of fact, I even read in the Old Testament too. Now, you know you're righteous if you're reading in the Old Testament. I helped others this week, and such in that position at such and such church, they ain't done a thing. I hadn't even seen them in 4 weeks. Doesn't matter that you weren't there for three of them. I don't wear blue jeans to church like you know who. I had somebody tell me that one time. I'm not even going to go into it because I love them now, but I was told Jesus would be ashamed of you from having blue jeans on in his church. And I said, he'd be ashamed of you for telling me that. They now wear blue jeans to church. I tithe every week, and such hadn't put a penny in all year. It's quiet because it's uncomfortable because we think those things. And we even say them at our lunch table. Y'all know that, right? Once y'all get out of the 29385, that's the zip code for Welford. Y'all tell each other all kinds of stuff about the people you sitting here looking at right now, including the one standing up here with a vest on. That's why I got my vest on. I don't know if I can trust y'all sometimes. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but I think you get the point. We measure ourselves on the things we do compared to the things other people don't do. Well, my sins really aren't as bad as you know who. Well, my neighbor, preacher, I know I'm bad, but you all see my neighbor. We think those things all the time. I'm not exempt from it. You're not exempt from it. But Paul knew according to the law he had before him, he was blameless. He had every reason to stand firm in his self-righteousness. But he met somebody more valuable. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it set him free from his self-righteousness. I want you to hear verses 7 through 9 again. Yet whatever gains I had, and he had a bunch of them, this I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. So many times in our relationship with Christ, we want to be as comfortable as we can, and the moment that he calls us to do something uncomfortable, we take a step back. We don't stand firm, we take a step back. Paul had way more to lose than I promise you ever had when it came to his position in society. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This word rubbish, if you go back and trace it through its Greek language, I'll let you just do that on your own. But it is, as he's saying, it is as worthless and as filthy and as disgusting as anything imaginable. All my good stuff, I consider it disgusting compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Then he goes on in verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. You see, Paul understood that we have no righteousness of our own. We have no righteousness of our own. In Romans 3, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. In Isaiah, the prophet says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags before the Lord. Jesus even said, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. Paul is painting this picture that it's not his righteousness, it's not his behavior, it's not his doings and his actions. It doesn't matter what committee you serve on or how many people you help during the week. If you're not doing it through who you are in Christ, it is nothing more than a self-righteous thing, and that's great. Do keep doing those things, but let's just change why you're doing them. Let's do them through Christ. Because we need people to do good things. You don't have to be a Christian to do good. Do y'all know that? There are anti-Christian organizations out giving and doing a lot of churches. You don't have to be a Christian to do good. You have to be a Christian to live out your righteousness that Christ has given you to make a difference in somebody's life for the sake of the gospel. So your relationship with Christ is either motivated by bringing yourself praise and glory, or it's motivated by growing and changing and becoming more like Jesus. It really comes down to two simple things. You're either pursuing Jesus through the sanctifying grace of God and becoming more like him, or you're not. It's that simple. Please don't misunderstand. We must profess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord to be saved. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, go and do work so that they'll see and they'll give thanks to the Father above. But too many times we're good with our fire insurance. Y'all know what I mean? We said the prayer at Bible school. We got that sawdust on our dress when we walked down at the revival. Y'all had some camp meetings, didn't you? And those are great, but if that's all we've had, and we're not continuing to grow in grace, be careful. Patricia Taylor says this in an article that I read a few weeks back. It says, Jesus did not give us robes of righteousness so that we can remain dirty underneath and still look clean to the Father. Scripture tells us that once we are in Christ, we take on his robe of righteousness. Our filthy rags become a beautiful robe. But underneath that robe, underneath this cool costume that is just so creative and clever, I've still got my normal stuff on. See, when we put on the robe, the righteousness of Christ, we all look good here, don't we? And we're in church, we're smiling. I even saw such and such say something nice to somebody they didn't know. I didn't even park in the first parking spot, preacher. I parked in the third. But underneath, what's happened? Did we just cover up who we were? Or has that robe become part of who we are? She continues and says, he gave us robes of righteousness so we could be transformed underneath, then to resemble the spotless righteousness he himself embodies. She later says, Christ covers us with his own robe of righteousness, with the intention of that robe becoming our very skin. Do you see the difference? You can wear a robe and keep your normal clothes underneath. And once you take that robe off, you're just who you were. What she's saying is he gave us that robe so that it would never come off, and that it would eventually just become all anybody ever sees, and they would think that's just the skin they have because of who they are in Christ. Righteousness is viewed in really two different ways. One, that in our justification, we are imputed righteousness. We are given righteous standing with God. But then Wesley took a lot of hits because he focused on righteousness that was then imparted to believers. He said we have to be made righteous. We can't just become righteous. We have to be made righteous. And that was his focus on the sanctifying grace of God. But sadly, so many times we no longer see the need for repentance or the importance and necessity of growing in our faith. We're pretty content and happy. We live in a very privileged society. We get to come to church, and most of us drove cars here. And we just end up stuck. And when we end up stuck, most of the time, this is tied now, so I don't think I can get it off. Uh-oh, maybe I can. When we end up stuck, what happens is we forget to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We get up, we get in a hurry, we get our coffee as quick as we can, we get out the door, and we're angry at the first car that pulls out in front of us. It happens. Come on, guys, it happens. And then what happens throughout the day is bitterness will start building up because you got an email or a bad situation, or you're mad at somebody at work because they did you unfair, or you're mad at somebody in your family because they said something about you behind your back that hurt you, right? Now, my family's not the only one that does stuff like this. Y'all's family's messed up too. I shouldn't have said that. I love y'all. Love you. Y'all families are great. Mine, on the other hand. But we become vulnerable. We become vulnerable. See, the belt's no good if there's no breastplate to hook to it. So then our heart gets attacked, and the enemy sees, oh, they don't have their breastplate on today. And then, boom, here comes an attack. As you notice, I have not talked a lot about the enemy. I'm not going to give the enemy a lot of airtime that it doesn't deserve. I'm going to give Jesus the airtime. Because remember, the enemy has no authority over your life once you are in Christ. So it can't make you do anything. It can tempt you with a lie, then you choose to do that. It can't make you do it. But it will try. That's why it's so important that we keep, that's why it's important that we keep on the righteousness of Christ. Because see, now when that bitterness happens, I don't have to rely on my own self. I can rely on what Jesus taught me. See, when that person lies about you, and they don't care who they tell false information about you, you just put on the breastplate of Christ. And it doesn't hurt because I'm protected. Because you can't get to my heart. Because Jesus has set me free from the wounds of the arrows from your enemy. There's a song out called In Christ Alone. And it says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. What fears are stilled when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Whatever you're going through, hear these next few verses. There is no power of hell and no scheme of man. Do you know the enemy could use man and woman? Do you know that? And they can use the people that are supposed to be closest to you. Do y'all know that? No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Paul said, stand firm. So you can take your best shot, but if you are firm in who you are in Christ and you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, nothing going to pluck you out of his hand. So don't let it bother you. Just know, he's got me covered. Now let's switch gears for a minute. How many of you watch baseball? Good. Not enough of you to be a church, but we'll work on that. I don't watch much baseball. I just stayed up every night this week, and I'm not going to be the guy that brags on a former student and player named Steven Duggar who got called up and who is now dominating in the major leagues in his first week. I don't want to be that guy. Okay, I just don't want to be him. That would be rude. But while I've watched Steven Duggar go into the batter's box to rip double after double after double this week, I've noticed something. Every single catcher that sits behind where he's standing has on a chest protector. Every single one of them. Because they don't want to get hurt. Now, they got other gear, too. But if I had a kid one time who came back after catching a bullpen, and he was grabbing his side, I said, what happened? He said, I got hit. I said, do you have your chest gear on? No. I can't feel sorry for you, son. That was dumb. All right, how about this? How many of you have seen a police officer either on TV or in person lately? Some of us, right? They wear a bulletproof vest everywhere they go. Why? Because they know they got people that don't like them, and they need to protect the organs that are going to get them home to their family at night. And pray to God that happens. Now, if an officer goes out without his bulletproof vest on, the first question that's going to happen if something bad happens to him is, where was your vest? Well, I just left it in the car. It doesn't happen, folks. They put them on all the time because it's that important to them. So then, brothers and sisters in Christ, why would we dare not put ours on every morning? Knowing that we got an enemy out there, knowing that it'll come in many shapes and sizes. And we want to know the enemy might get into our heart. Won't get into your heart if you had your breastplate on. So this week, think about it. Pray about it. Put on the righteousness of Christ. Suit up. Stand firm. And let's live out who we are in Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.